Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope the show finds you safe and well. Of course, it is time for more of your listener questions. Thanks so much for always giving us some questions to answer. You can send those right now to mike@brguestpodcast.com or drop by the Facebook page on Mondays around 5:45 Eastern. We record live and we'd love to have you there next Monday. It's a holiday even. Join us, Memorial Day. We've got some great questions today from horseback riding at Walt Disney World to great tours to go on for the first time, to great lounges for an adult's night out, much more coming your way. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time for your next Disney adventure, work with the best, and that's the folks over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and every purchase helps everything we do here on the show. Please use it as often as you can. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1673 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're hanging in there here in the middle of May. Just think about it. Memorial Day weekend right around the corner. The unofficial start to summer, which I really don't know what that means here in 2020. Usually it means everybody comes over for a big barbecue. The pools are open. You know, that's vacation time for us. We always take our big summer vacation in either June or July. Still planning on going to Walt Disney World in July. I want to do 4th of July down there, but we'll see what happens. We're all kind of standing by to see how everything goes. But, you know, summer nonetheless, you get, like, school gets out. I found out my daughter's already out of school. Like, what? Like, I didn't know, you know, because, like, oh, they just quit giving assignments. You know, that was the last day to do online learning. So it wasn't like they had a big bash this year or anything. It's just like, oh, yeah, my teacher said we're done and school's out. So that's kind of, that's kind of, you know, 2020, I guess. You know, it's not the greatest year of all, but hey, maybe the second half will be a lot better than it's got to be. The second half
anything
is going to
be
awesome.
Better than
please.
The first
I'm not going to say
please.
Anything, though, because I'm not going to say it can't get worse, because it could. It always does. Yeah, anyway, yeah. Join me today. We answer your listener questions here on Wednesdays. We have Ricky from touringplans.com and themouseforless.com. What's up, Ricky?
Well, I mean, if it wasn't the weird 2020, I'd be getting ready to go on a cruise today. So I'm really sad, actually. But that's okay. No, well, it's fine.
To Alaska.
I know. I would have been going to Alaska with Pam. So I'm really sad today.
The Kodiak Bears are going to miss you.
Maybe someday I'll get to Alaska now, but as of right now, it ain't happening because I'm here. And so I literally this is the first time I have had zero trips that I'm going on for Memorial Day weekend. Like, it's the most unusual thing. Like, I'm always going somewhere for Memorial Day weekend, and I'm actually going to be home. And it's not like I can do anything because it's just going to be another day. So yay!
It is so weird because
I have a cookout.
Yeah, definitely.
We cook out every night now because it's warm outside, and you know, so maybe we'll do like something special that we don't normally do, like s'mores or something. I don't know. But yeah.
I'll tell you what, if you're looking for a fire pit in St. Louis, you cannot find one. We're trying to find
sure.
Like, the last 2 days, cannot find a fire pit. Like, because we moved and the old one was all beat up and it was rusted in the bottom. We're like, well, let's get a new one at the new house, you know, like not because we moved in the end of July. So let's get one next spring. We've been looking everywhere. Lowe's, Home Depot. You're not getting a fire pit. I don't know if it's like that around the country, but it's toilet paper and fire pits. Can't get them.
I guess that's it. That's the magic. It's the magic things that are gone. So
dig a hole, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Like a caveman.
Hey, that works. I mean, as long as you don't set anything on fire, you're good.
So. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. We have a kind of a picky homeowners association,
yeah,
whatever that's
not.
Called. I'm sure they're going to really love if I dig a hole and start burning fires in the backyard. Can't even have a pool. Anyway, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. And fun fact, I learned before this show, where Pam Forrester lives, on the outskirts of Pittsburgh, no Taco Bells, no KFCs. That is not heaven, Pam. That is not heaven. I can't believe it.
I'm telling you, it is heaven without it. I will just say. We don't need it. We don't need Taco Bell or KFC here. We have plenty of other restaurants from which to choose.
There's lots of choices. There yes.
Plenty of choices. So I know, Mike, you'd have to have a new routine. Maybe you'd go to a different Mexican restaurant. Like
I do. You know? I go to multiple Mexican restaurants, but there's just something about Taco Bell. Man. You know what? I'm not kidding. I'm like Pavlov's dog because on a road trip, when you're going down the interstate, like I'll see the logo and like I'll just start salivating. I'm like, I need a taco. And I'm not even hungry.
Sad.
It is really sad, Mike. It is sad.
Yeah. See, we do have Permanis, but we have you'd find plenty to eat here.
I do like Permani Brothers because I've had that in Indianapolis. That's the place that has the fries on the sandwich and it's crazy.
Fries on the sandwich, so good.
Yep. Indianapolis Mall. All right. Well, hey, we'll probably be talking about food a lot. So if you have comments, you're tuned in here live on Facebook, drop those in the comments because we do need some questions that would help us with tonight's show. We're leading off the question from the inbox from Morgan. This is an interesting question. I think I have the answer, but I wanted to bounce this off Pam because you booked so many trips in the past. I want to see how things are going to go with this one. She says, my fiance and I will be getting into Orlando around midnight on September 20th for our honeymoon. We've already booked the trip starting on September 20th, but since we won't be getting to the room until after midnight, we'd technically be checking in on the 21st in the eyes of Disney. I was thinking originally we need to ask for a late checkout time, but now I'm wondering if we need to adjust and change the check-in date to the 21st since we'll technically be checking in very early on the 21st. And Morgan's in Bristow, Virginia, and she's curious about that. So they're getting there. So they're flying down the night of the 20th, but not going to get to the resort until, say, I guess like 1 a.m. the 21st. You would book it to check in on the 20th, right, though, so that you can go. Otherwise, you have to wait for your room to be ready, right? You're going to play the game. Could be 5 o'clock that night.
Right. Yes, your room could technically not be ready until 3 or 4 o'clock the next day on the 21st. So if you would like a room to go to, and I'm betting you will because you'll be tired, I think you should absolutely keep it on the 20th. And I think that's the smart thing to do because then you'll be able to go ahead once you get there, get to your room, and then you'll be able to settle in and you'll be able to have a room the next day there when you're there all day, when you likely won't have one if you're only checking in on the 21st and go from there. But yeah, absolutely. I would book it for the 20th arrival.
But you would tell Disney, right? Just to make sure that they know that you're the situation so that they know you're not a no-show.
Yes, absolutely. Let them know that you will have a late arrival and that's perfectly okay with them. And they'll hold your room for you and then you'll go on with your vacation.
Yeah,
and that's the best tip, whenever you're staying at a hotel and you have a late, like really late arrival, just let them know like, hey, we're still coming, you know, we'll be there. It's just, we're going to be, you know, after midnight or whatever. Cause that has definitely happened to Brian and I a number of times where we've gotten in well after midnight. So it's just nice to just call them and give them a heads up of, hey, we're just going to be a little late. Don't give away our room. Cause they could potentially do that if the hotel is booked or something like that. So not saying that would happen at a Disney hotel necessarily, but you know, just in general that has happened. So just kind of keep in mind. So.
You know, too, when I'm looking back at how we used to go to Disney as opposed to how we do now, you know, of course everybody has their evolution of how their trips turn out. If you've been a Disney fan for any length of time, you know, we used to always drive. We used to, you know, we'd only stay at Pop Century or an All-Star. Now we've, you know, we do split stays. We'll stay at a moderate some of the trip. We'll stay at a deluxe maybe one or two nights at the end. But I remember that when we first started going, you know, I would get there at about, you know, we'd leave at about 5 in the morning. Sometimes, a lot of times we left like 5 in the evening as Mallory was like really little. But sometimes we'd leave like after work, you know, say 5 or 6. And go down. And the thing is, a lot of times we get there. Well, I guess it was when I'm trying to think of the time we'd leave. But anyway, we'd stay off site, like it's some cheesy little cheap hotel, because we get in, say, at like 8 o'clock at night. And the thing was, so we were thinking, you know, we'd stay at like some hotel on like I-4, like something, something, you know, Main Gate or something, you know, a cheapy hotel I found on Expedia. And the thing was, I saved a little bit of money by doing that, by not staying at the Disney resort like that, because the way I looked at it was, well, we're getting there at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night. I don't want to pay for that whole day, you know, and not be there. But what I've learned is you were saving probably 20 or 30 bucks if you were staying at a value to do that offsite shuffle. Then you gotta unpack. You know what I'm saying? Like you gotta put your stuff in the cheap hotel on I-4, pack it up again in the morning, go over to Pop Century, play the check-in game. You know, you might not get your room for a while. Where I just learned that it was easier just even if you got in eight or 9 o'clock at night, just get that room, get there, and you can go in the morning. You're already checked in, you're ready to roll. You know, it's just one of those things, like it was like I was trying to save just a little bit of money, but it wasn't worth the hassle. Yeah. It just wasn't worth it.
I know. You always have to. I think that's always a challenge for so many people. Like you want to save the money, or you want the most value. And sometimes those things aren't. Sometimes the least expensive is not always the best value. You could save $20 and waste 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And for me, I'll pay $20 to save 3 hours any day. And that's the kind of thing I think you have to think about sometimes is the value.
Good point. All right. Aaron's got a question here in the chat. Kind of interesting. She says, I know you normally save the deluxe for last, but what if your split stays Art of Animation Suite in Wilderness Lodge Studio? Downsize second or save the spacious room for last? Mm-hmm. I have a definite answer on that one. I still go Wilderness Lodge last because of the amenities, the location. I do that. You know, size is not as important as like the opulence of a Wilderness Lodge to me. But I don't know. What do you think? I mean, what would you do?
I think I would definitely do Wilderness Lodge last and Art of Animation first. Just like you said, based off of the amenities that they have, I mean, it's kind of not a no contest idea for me. I would absolutely go with Art of Animation first. And then
I would too. I can't help it. It's more of the total experience that I'm thinking of when, and not necessarily just the size of the room, but Wilderness Lodge is definitely a deluxe resort. You're going to see more restaurants. You're going to see sit down restaurants. They have a lounge, they have a pool bar, they have a, you know, all of these things. And the values do have a pool bar, but it's very different than the pool bar at the deluxe resort.
A little bit.
I remember one time, you know, we rolled up to the lobby. We were at the food court at one of the value hotels, and we wanted to get a drink. And at one point, Steve looks over and he's like, nobody's coming to take your order. You have to go up there and get your drink and then bring it back to your seat. And I was like, oh, like I just wasn't really thinking about it. You know what I mean? But yes. So, you know, but it's the lobby experience too. Like, don't get me wrong. The lobbies at the value resorts are really entertaining and colorful and nice, but you don't see a ton of people just hanging out in the lobby because they love the ambiance, right?
No.
I mean, you could do some prime people watching, I'm sure, because, you know, I think that sometimes during check-in, your family's not always at their best, right? So everyone doesn't always love each other.
True that. True that. Survival.
But in the Wilderness Lodge, you're going to see people just hanging out in the lobby because they like the ambiance and the music and everything else going on there. So there's so many pluses for that resort. I think save it to the end. You'll really appreciate it.
But in defense of the drop-off bar and Petals, which is Pop Century and Art of Animation's pool bars, I've seen some raucous people at those bars and the All-Star bars too. I forget what they're called, but man, I'm just saying you can rock it at the deluxe resorts and you can rock it at the values, man. It's vacation for everybody and they're a lot of fun, but you're right. I mean, it's definitely a different feel, but I think that I've heard actually people are really fans of Petals. Like for some, I don't know, like there's like a fan club for Petals Pool Bar and I don't know what it is. Really? Maybe it's just the decoration because it's just an outside.
It's
not even much more though than like Coronado Springs has a nice outdoor bar right next to their pool. Now they serve some hot food items out of theirs. That's kind of the step up there, but summertime sitting outside with a cold drink. Who wants to be on
vacation?
Right now. I'm gonna say, who wants to be on vacation?
$25 seems fair. Absolutely fair.
Oh my gosh. Okay, follow-up question from Dana in the live chat, and I don't think they are, but Ricky might know. Do you know if they're doing the update on the Big Blue Pool at Art of Animation while they're closed? Are they not doing any construction at all right now?
No, right now at Disney, they are not doing any construction, basically. It's pretty well stopped until they can get, you know, some social distancing guidelines and stuff in place. I think we're not going to see any construction at Walt Disney World until, you know, they start getting people back in and stuff like that. So, unfortunately, all of those things have been pushed back. So, all of the, you know, probably all the pool refurbishments that had been scheduled. And I know there were some that were, like, listed for a long time. And, like, they listed them, like, middle of last year for the end of 2020. And I was like, what is this? Disney's really letting people know that the, you know, pool at Pop Century is going to be closed yep. this far in advance. I thought it was a typo, to be perfectly honest. And then, no, it was not. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably just going to push back all of these things because there's just no one there to work on, you know, anything. So, you know, just like we've said before, it obviously will push back, you know, it'll push back Ratatouille when that opens, you know, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. It's going to push back Guardians of the Galaxy Coaster. It's going to push back Tron. It's going to push back, you know, the Play Pavilion. It's going to push back everything, at least for a little while. So, yeah, unfortunately, sorry. I mean, well,
the good news, though, is with, you know, with a pool refurbishment is no matter what resort you're at, you're going to have other options, True. You know, so say you're at Riverside and the old muddy island or whatever, old man pool,
old man I can't River, remember, island,
whatever, you know, the old island out there, the bar is like Muddy Waters or something, I don't know, I know the bar, I don't know the name of the pool. That's bad. But, you know, if that one's down, you can go over to the French Quarter pool. Or, you know, if you're at Art of Animation, Big Blue pool goes down. Of course, that is the feature pool. It's right there by the Finding Nemo suites. But you could also go down to the Cars pool, which is very awesome in itself. You could also go to the Little Mermaid pool. Same thing for, you know, Pop Century. If the hippity-dippity pool's down, you can go over to the 50s, the bowling exactly. pin, or the computer from the 80s. So
or the
you have
square
options.
Computer.
Well, I mean, it's...
The bowling pin.
It is. Okay, the computer pool is kind of lame, except for folks like me, because, like, I just look up at that laptop, and it is so awesome, because it is such a laptop. 90s computer. I love that
and
thing.
It's the 90s, like, Disney websites.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Like, if you've been a Disney fan for a yes. while, you will recognize the website, because it really... That's really what it looked
oh,
like.
Oh, totally.
Like,
100%.
No joke.
Yeah. And that's it's got all the old like. URLs and everything on there. It's, yeah. That's a piece of history, really. It is. They didn't mean for it to be. Well, maybe they did.
I don't know. That's
crazy. Now.
It is.
So we'll see. All right. Now, this email came in end of March, so it's a little bit dated, but I think we can have a conversation on it. It's from Justin up in Canada. He says, hey there. Justin from Ontario here and a huge fan of the show. My girlfriend and I have a 10-day trip planned starting May 3rd at Pop Century with some killer dining reservations and fast passes. Unfortunately, though, we're not going to be able to take this trip with the current COVID situation. I was curious what your thoughts are on to do next. We're considering rescheduling for the same time next year, so again, beginning of May, or we're thinking about pushing it all the way back to 2022 in order to allow for more of the coming changes to Walt Disney World to finish up. I'm torn because the 50th anniversary, May 2021, would be a pretty cool experience, but the crowds are going to be nuts due to the anniversary celebrations, and we want to avoid crowds as much as possible. If we push it to 2022, this would also be considered a graduation celebration. I'll be graduating from a 4-year registered nursing program in 2022. What additions do you anticipate being around in May 2022 that would not be around during May 2021? And how do you think crowds will be for both of these two dates? And that's his question. He is in Ontario. Justin. So basically, I think, you know, everything's up in the air, but I mean, we can still kind of guess. So here's my first thought on this. I'll throw it to you guys to kind of finish up. But I would guess with the current situation, Disney's rethinking how to do the 50th because obviously mm-hmm. they're going to be behind now. Maybe they start the anniversary on October 1st, 2021, because that buys them time and it's actually the official 50th anniversary date. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense and it's a good fallback instead of like January 1st. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So that's what I'm thinking may happen. So, you know, so if they went May 2021, they might beat most of the people. Because I'll tell you what, I mean, this is just me as a travel agent. Pam probably sees this too. In the last week or so, I've been getting a lot of emails from guests that want to book packages to be there beginning of October 2021. Now, we're almost there because your checkout date has to be within 499 days. As of today's recording, that date is September 29th. So when this show comes out, it will be October 1st of your checkout. So be the length of your stay and then you can do it. But this is a hot date to be there around October, beginning of October 2021. So Pam, what would you say? Then we'll throw it to Ricky because she can kind of crystal ball it with all the stuff she knows too.
It's so hard because I think through everything that being in this COVID situation has taught me, it has made me, I guess, appreciate even more not putting off the things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's got, it is absolutely something that is in my brain as I think about things, that as I think about things that I want to accomplish and things I want to do. And so I'm reluctant to say that pushing it off is a good idea. I just am. You know, who knows what will be going on at that point in time. I think I would fit it in, you know, where I could, but there will be changes because of the anniversary. There will be crowds, but like as in other celebrations, you may see an uptick, maybe especially on weekends too, because you have local people and people who are coming in for their vacation, but it's not going to be a constant, you know, high level of crowd just because we're having a celebration. We've seen Disney's crowds increase to some degree, just, you know, gradually increase. And I still feel like I'm able to go to the parks and get things done and enjoy myself. So I try not to let crowds deter me because some of my best vacations have happened during very busy times. You just have to use strategies, employ your knowledge of the area to make good decisions about when to go ahead and do the attractions, what to use your fast passes for, and how to use things like the events that happen at night to maybe supplement, you know, like parties if they're available or after hours events or other things like that. Just use all the tools at your advantage and you can still have a fantastic trip regardless of crowds.
Agree, especially in May, because May is a great, early May is an awesome time. Absolutely. You're not going to hit the big crowds, I don't think, either year in early May. And he already said he had killer fast passes in ADR, so he knows how to run things and how to get things, you know, set up for a good vacation. So I'm comfortable with either. So Ricky, any thoughts on this?
Well, I do think that they will now that will probably push back the celebration, the 50th. I know Jennifer says that, you know, she asked, did I read the celebrations are now pushed back to 10/1/21 instead of starting in January? And really, we didn't know if they were going to start in January to begin with. I mean, let's be perfectly honest. That was a guess, you know, based off of things. I thought they were probably going to start in May and probably they would be starting May Memorial Day weekend, you know, this same weekend, May 2021. So, I mean, I could have been wrong on that guess too. I do think, you know, of course, if they don't do May, you know, Memorial Day weekend next year to start the 50th, I think they will absolutely, obviously, of course, do the official day, which is October 1st, 2021. So, you know, that will, you know, it'll either, I think it'll still either be one of those two weekend, you know, two times. Again, I've been wrong before, but I think that those are probably the two most likely times. As far as what we'll see, I think the celebration will last at least 18 months because it's Disney. Too. So, I mean, duh. they're not one to skimp on a celebration. And I think that you're going to see maybe a phased introduction of those attractions that are supposed to be there for the 50th, like Tron, like the Play Pavilion, like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that those might be phased in instead of opening all at once, like maybe Disney was planning. But again, we'll see. You know, we just don't know based off of where the construction was, where it will be at that time, you know, how much they can ramp up or how much. Just there's a lot of unknowns that we don't know. And I don't know that Disney knows at this point. I mean, no, I know they're working on it. I know they have a plan. They have an idea. But of course, goodness knows, they definitely didn't predict
nobody did.
Global pandemic. So, you know, that there are things that change things all the time. So, you know, we can only do our best guess of what we think is going to happen based off the knowledge that we have now. And right now, that's kind of how I suspect we'll see things. Again, I've been wrong before. So I could be wrong on this one. But based off of the things that I've seen in the past, that's kind of where I think we're going.
What if Disney's great at marketing? They can sell anything. They can make it sound really good. What if they, you know, launch some big attraction on October 1st, 2021, right, and then every 50 days they open another big attraction for the celebration.
I don't know that they have enough attractions for that.
No, just until they get them all open. You know, 50 days later than Guardians.
I think that's a great idea, actually.
Yeah, should be working for
that. You should be. That's kind of... They could open like a small... I mean, they could open a small attraction, and they open a big attraction, and then they open a small thing, and then they, you know... I like that idea.
No, we're gonna do it.
It's a really good idea.
All right. Ready? I wish I had my cowboy hat here for this question. I wear it all the time when we play cards at the table, but it's upstairs in the closet. Anyway, Jennifer's asking, what are the horseback options at Walt Disney World, and have any of you done any? So I have only done one adjacent horse activity, and it was the big wagon ride that we took the lizards at Marathon Weekend. We rented like three wagons at Fort Wilderness because there were so many of us. Now, we didn't all go at the same time. We took turns. But you just got on this wagon. I think it held like 25 people. It was awesome. This is an old-fashioned. It held a lot of people. And I think there were two horses, and it just took us, you know, slowly around Fort Wilderness. The resort loops, we saw all the trailers and the motorhomes, and, you know, went past Trails Inn, smelled the chicken. Past Pioneer Hall, all that good stuff. They just try to get you to go buy dinner, which I probably did because I love Trails. If I'm close to the Trails Inn, I got to eat there. But it was a lot of fun, and it was relatively inexpensive. I would say like $20 a person. I mean, because when you get a group... If you got a group, it wasn't bad. So that is the only horse activity I have ever done at Disney. Pam, have you ever mounted a horse at Disney and galloped through the wilderness?
I have not, but my mom has, and she actually has horses, so she wanted to do the trail ride when they were down there at some point. This is a few years back, and so they went to Fort Wilderness, and they did the trail ride, and she said it was run really well. She felt really safe, that it's something that even beginners can do. They know this. They have horses that have certainly been handpicked, that have a really great disposition and aren't inclined to do dumb things horses do if you're familiar with horses. But I'll just say, when we're at her house and there's like a plastic bag that sort of blows through the field, you would think that this was huge. I mean, the horses are hugely alarmed by this. They get all freaked out. And for as big as they are, they're kind of easily frightened.
It's like sort an of elephant fragile and a mouse, yeah, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. They're kind of like, you know, they're freaked about everything. So anyways, but you don't have to worry about that when Disney's taking care of that. And then the other thing is that you can do, certain resorts have the carriage rides too. Like, not just Fort Wilderness, there's like a smaller carriage that only accommodates like four people. Mm-hmm. Not the big wagon. So that's the other horse thing too. But yeah.
Is Fort Wilderness the only place, though, that you can actually ride horses? I think it is, right?
Tricircle D.
Yeah, because the Tricircle D Ranch, yeah.
Tricircle D.
That's a great name.
By the way, is a great name. It's being refurbished right now, so just know that, again, another one of those projects that I think was supposed to be for the 50th. So, yeah, just know that or maybe it was for the new Reflections, you know, it was tied into that, too, but... just know that Tricircle D Ranch is currently being refurbished, but the horses and all that are still available. Well, whenever Walt Disney World opens again, will still be available to be seen. So you can still go and see the horses at Tricircle D Ranch too, which is a really cool experience. I did it on one of our early trips, you know, to Walt Disney World. So, it's a really cool
those horses that they use, the ones you usually see and the stables over there are the ones that you typically see like in the Magic Kingdom. They're usually a Percheron or a Belgian, which is a really big horse. And when you get to see them at Tricircle D, you get to really appreciate the massiveness of these horses. They're big. So it's a cool experience.
And that's why I love running from Wilderness Lodge, well, you can't because the path's closed right now, but from Wilderness Lodge to Fort Wilderness, you're running right past Tricircle D. You see the goats, you see the horses.
I mean,
you got to hold your breath because, I mean, unless you're from the country, it smells like poop. But it's pretty nice. I mean, and the thing is, I don't know. I heard that during the refurbishment, though, Ricky, that the horses did demand villas over at the Polynesian.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
They wanted to use the pool, quiet pool.
Exactly.
Could you see a horse go down the volcano pool slide at the Polynesian? That's a visual.
Oh, my
God. You know how they do like the last day at the pool and you're like in your community, it's like dog day in the pool.
Yes,
you know how they do it's horse day right now. They're like, they said
Daisy swimming.
And well, you know, Disney said, do they talk to their horses? And they said, you know what? If we're ever closed for a week or more, you guys can get in the pool. And the horses are like, bet, let's go.
I'll take those on.
Do it. Yes.
All right. Next question is from Debbie in the live chat. It says, hopefully take a family trip in December. And of course, now it starts jumping. We're staying at Old Key West. What lounges should hubby and I go to for date night?
Pam Forrester.
Was this question addressed to me? the odd thing about Old Key West is they don't really have a lounge like
that. No, true. They don't.
The gurgling suitcase.
Yeah, I know.
Four
right?
people. Yeah.
And it is a fun place, but it's the only place then you can get food is sort of the little grab and go that's right there. And there's not a lot of great options there. Not that the Gurgling Suitcase doesn't have some great drinks, because they do. They have a signature drink, and the name's escaping me right now, but it's really good. So, this question was just for me.
Yes, it is.
So anyways, you know, there's lots of great lounges at the World. We were just talking about Wilderness Lodge, so I'd be remiss if I didn't mention both Territory Lounge, which is the inside lounge that's sort of attached there to Artist Point, and then also Geyser Point, which is available as well. And the Geyser Point is outside, so it's sort of open air. It looks out over the water. It's beautiful. The food's good. I mean, I don't need to sell this too much, because now every time I go there, there's a wait to get into this lounge. So I think all you people are going to this lounge. Yep. So anyways, no, I I'm glad that people like it, because I do too. There are great lounges, though, at other resorts, too. I think Animal Kingdom Lodge, Victoria Lounge, is a great one, too. It actually sort of overlooks Boma. So while you're getting your drink, and they have some interesting snacks there, too, you can check that out. And if you're in the area of the Wilderness Lodge, again, you can take a boat over to the Contemporary. And a little known fact here, the California Grill actually does have sort of a lounge area. And if they're not too busy, you can go up there and grab a drink and or eat. Now, there are absolutely times when it is too busy and you can't go up there, because all those spaces in the lounge are either full or being taken up by folks who are waiting for their table to open up in the restaurant. So keep that in mind. But if you can't get in at California Grill, there is also another lounge right there by Chef Mickey's. Mm-hmm. So you could visit that one. Too.
And the Wave. The Wave's got a cool lounge.
Yeah, the Wave does have a cool lounge. The only thing about the Wave lounge for me is it's dark.
It is dark. It's cool. That's why I like it, though. It's so cool down there.
I know. And when it's hot outside, it's perfect. Like, that's awesome. But my husband, if it's too dark, he will fall asleep.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm
saying. Truly.
That is a hazard of that place, dude. It is so, it's like cool and dark. And if it's been 100 degrees in July and you've been outside, you're just like, you're out before your drink even gets back. You're so
tired.
Yeah, I know, for sure. But it is. And the other thing is, you can, not only do they have sort of a menu there, but you can order off of the full menu that's available at the Wave to be served there in the lounge too. So that's a great option. But really, I mean, all of them are great. And we didn't even touch on Disney Springs. There's tons of great lounges there too. You will not have a shortage of good lounges.
You will find a lounge, I promise.
You will find a lounge. Yeah, that's where my family eats most of the time. So
all right, so we have three questions. We have about 10 minutes. So I want to get these in for the end of the show, because they've been hanging. Okay, Phillip's got a question here. What tour would you recommend? Looking for behind the scenes background stories of different features of the parks. So I'm quickly just going to go with Keys to the Kingdom. That sounds like it's your most general Magic Kingdom introductory tour that kind of whets your appetite. Then you can go other ways and more in depth with certain areas. But Keys to the Kingdom is a good first tour for me. Ricky?
I mean, I'm going to go with that 7-hour monstrosity tour of the Backstage Magic. I mean, I think that for a Disney fan is the ultimate. So there's so many different things that you can do on that tour that are unusual that you can't do anywhere else. So that's the one I'm going with. It's my bucket list tour, actually. And someday I'll get there. But yeah, it's my bucket list.
I'll do it on a solo trip, I think, because I'll be gone.
Yeah.
So that's a good idea. Yeah. All right, Pam, what about you?
I'm thinking if you like animals, and I know this is not the parks, but anything that you can do over at the Animal Kingdom Lodge is really immersive and incredible. Like, you'll have opportunities to do things that you won't have many opportunities to do outside of like a wildlife preserve or something like that. In particular, they have what's called a Wanyama Safari, which includes going out on the safari there at Animal Kingdom and then also having dinner at GECO. So it combines two things that are awesome. Can't beat that.
Agreed. And all three of those would be great options. Great options.
You know, what's sad is there's not that many. I mean, there's not that many tours really that take you to Hollywood Studios though at this point. Nope. Like, that's kind of the bummer is all the other parks have really good tours, I feel like. And then poor Hollywood Studios is like, hi, we're over here.
I like that World Showcase on Discovery. I did that World Showcase on Discovery at Epcot, and it was just me and another couple that was like from Asia, and they didn't speak English. And it was really, because there was only three of us, and it was super interesting. I mean, it was like a private tour basically for like 4 hours.
Awesome.
Let's see. Stephanie's got a question. Question about dining at Hollywood Studios. Just talking about the studios. We're spending 2 days at Hollywood Studios, but we aren't thrilled about dining there. We have the dining plan. Do you recommend a great table service at Hollywood Studios, or should we go to the boardwalk area or Epcot for ADRs on our Hollywood Studios days? Two boys, 11 and 9, if that matters. So here's what I say on that one real quick. So if you're looking for table service, now I think the studios does fine on table service. I think where the struggle is counter service, even though I can eat Ronto wraps like they're going out of business nowadays. So I'm not too worried as much as I used to be. Give me a breakfast Ronto wrap and a regular Ronto wrap the rest of the day. It's like my Taco Bell. Anyway, so 11 and 9, that's interesting. And boys, because I think they would really enjoy 50s Primetime and Sci-Fi. I think those are both great options, and you're not wasting so much time leaving the studio. So, Ricky, you kind of agree with that?
Those were exactly the two I was going to suggest for those ages. I think they are perfect. I think the food, I like the food at 50s Primetime. So, I mean, there's that. And then, you know, I know that sometimes Sci-Fi gets a knock on their food, but you have the really cool experience of, you know, the drive-in, you know, being in the cars and dining and things like that. For that, I think is killer. So, you know, those are definitely the two that I would suggest and was thinking of right off the bat anyway. So,
anything outside the box, Pam, as far as like hopping out to, because I don't know if I'd go all the way to Epcot, maybe Boardwalk one of the 2 days or something. What are you thinking?
So you also have the ability to go ahead and take the Skyliner over to that International Gateway area, and Ale and Compass is there. And I think the food at Ale and Compass is outstanding.
True.
So just a good choice there if you're looking for another table service to use that. But I think the two that Mike and Ricky both talked about were good choices too, for sure.
All right, last question of the day. Haley Joe says, we're hopefully doing a quick trip for my birthday in August and doing Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. Any quick service that is special you would recommend? So obviously we're looking quick service at Magic Kingdom.
Yes. So there's just one tiny little problem, and that's the fact that if you're going to be doing quick service for Mickey's Not So Scary, a lot of the restaurants close. They close early because they use those locations for, for the actual treat giveaways. So you're actually very limited on the places that you can go to. That's going to be the toughest part. I mean, usually Cosmic Rays is going to be open. And I mean, it's good. It's special in the fact that you have, you know, Sunny Eclipse there. So that's an option. I'm going to suggest if you really, because it's so limited, I would suggest heading over to, you know, one of the Polynesian or the Contemporary or the Grand Floridian and grabbing a bite there. Now, for me, it would be Captain Cook's at the Polynesian. That's my favorite. I mean, hands down, I've literally left the Magic Kingdom to go eat at Captain Cook's because I was craving Captain Cook's. So I crave those pork nachos all the time. So that's kind of where I am in life. But yeah, I would definitely consider if because there's really just nothing special that's open, you know, for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. I mean, they don't have themed, dinners or, you know, for counter service meals, which is unfortunate. They have lots of themed snacks, so you could fill up on snacks real good there.
Junk food, yeah.
But I don't think you're going to be able to fill up, you know, if you're looking for a dinner option, I would maybe go somewhere nearby, but not
My rule for the Halloween and the Christmas party is eat like at 4 o'clock before it even starts. Yes. You don't want to waste your time eating during one of those parties. There's too much fun stuff going on. And it is. Laura's asking, is Columbia Harbor House open? Sometimes it's not during the hard ticket events.
Right. Exactly.
Because I like that place and it's been closed.
Well, and the last time, so Brian and I were there, I don't remember if it was for the Halloween party, if it was for the Christmas party, but we did go over to the Grand Floridian and we actually ate a table service meal. We ate it at the Grand Floridian Cafe.
That's
again, it was just simple. Easy. We were able to walk in because it was, you know, we didn't have an ADR, but it was early enough that they just allowed us to sit down. So, you know, that's an option too, is to see if, you know, one of those table service options there is available if you really want something special.
Pam,
like,
really,
like at Kona at you know, the Polynesian,
yeah,
or something.
Totally.
You'd probably be able to walk in that. Yeah.
Well, and Pam, you talked about the Grand Floridian Cafe for years. I'd never been there. Scott Gardner is a big fan of it. He took me there after a couple of races over the past few years. You know, we'd have a breakfast there. That place is really good. Really good.
The breakfast is. It's a sort of like a brunchy menu for breakfast, and that's what I really like about it. So,
all righty. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you for the great questions. We love hanging out with you live here on Facebook, so join us next Monday around 5:45 Eastern. Drop your question in, or send your question even better to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We're getting a little low on the inbox with all the current situation that's going on. So drop your question in, mike@brguestpodcast.com. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. Right now is the time to plan either a late 2020 trip, or we can do basic packages for 2021. So I'm just telling you, this is my personal opinion on this. This is my mental health. I have to have something on the calendar officially locked in. It may happen, it may not, but I need to know that I have something to look forward to. I have a countdown officially rolling on my iPhone. It's just kind of nice to have that to look forward to. And things are turning around. I mean, we're making progress here in our country and around the world. Things are, we're getting there. It's slowly getting there. And, you know, as of the time this show releases, Disney Springs is back open on today as the show releases. So we're crossing our fingers there. We're going to learn some stuff down there, and hopefully we'll be back to the theme parks and resorts very, very soon. So when it comes time for that next Disney trip, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney, and let me tell you, Adventures by Disney just announced a killer Japan adventure for 2021. I booked a guest on that the other day. I looked at that. I'm like, oh, can I please go with you? Because that looks amazing. So yeah, it's. I'm just saying, like, if you want to go. And also, speaking of Adventures by Disney, drop by the Magic for Less YouTube channel. Go to YouTube.com, search the Magic for Less. There's a great video on what Adventures by Disney truly is all about. It's about the experiences. It's about the people you travel with. It's about the multiple guides that take you to exclusive places you wouldn't reach otherwise. There's just so much great Disney. We're in a pause period right now, but we're going to come out of this, and you're going to want to have a good time. And the folks at the Magic for Less are going to take great care of you. So check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here on the show, themagicforless.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and every purchase helps everything we do here on the show. So please bookmark it and use it as often as you can. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. I want to talk to you this week @BeOurGuestPod and @BeOurGuestMike, both Instagram and Twitter. And of course, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast will be right there with you. And we do these live shows, these call-in shows now during quarantine every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. Holy cow, 5 nights a week, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. Give us a call. It's like the old talk radio days when St. Louis used to be Jim White, but when I was a kid. The big bumper from the dimly lit studios on 1120 Camo X. Ricky, did you ever listen to the big bumper in St. Louis?
No,
because
no,
you're too
I did
young.
Not.
You're too
Sorry.
Young.
Sorry. Sorry.
Anyway, we're going to be back again on Friday with a topical discussion. We're going to talk about how things may look different attraction to attraction at Walt Disney World on your next trip. We're starting, obviously, with the Magic Kingdom. So we'd love to have some comments on that over the weekend, but we're going to talk about it here on the show on Friday. So until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.